And my message this morning fits right in. I gave a message several weeks ago on evangelism, telling people the good news, and that's what I'm talking about again. And I'm going to keep on talking about it until we all start doing it. Each one of us must be actively involved in evangelism. Evangelism is very important. It's at the heart of what we as followers of the Messiah are all about. Each one of us must be actively involved in evangelism. This is not just my job, Rabbi Glenn's job, no. This is your job. We are to equip you and encourage you to do the work of the ministry, which means, in large part, reaching out to people around you. Each one of us must be actively involved in evangelism, and for quite a few reasons. Our Lord Yeshua was himself actively involved in evangelism, and we are to be like him. Matthew 9, Yeshua went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news. Evangelism was at the heart of the ministry of the Lord Yeshua. And we're supposed to be like him, right? For us to be like him, we must engage in evangelism and make it a priority like he did. Does that make sense? Each one of us must be actively involved in evangelism because of love. God is love. That is his nature. And he wants us to love like he loves. Love tries to meet the greatest needs of those who are loved. And what are the world's greatest needs? Not more money, not more education, not better politics. The world's greatest needs are to be saved from the things we cannot save ourselves from. Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell. And the only way to overcome these deadly things is by responding to the gospel, the good news about Yeshua. We are to love people like God loves people, which means we will try to meet their greatest needs, which means we must bring them the message about Yeshua, the message of salvation. Does that make sense? We wouldn't have to be actively involved in evangelism if there was more than one way of salvation. But Yeshua made it clear that he is the one and only way of salvation. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Simon Peter said the same thing. He stood before the religious and political leaders of the chosen people and told them, salvation is found in no one else, referring to Yeshua. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. If the Sanhedrin, the political and religious leaders of the chosen people, needed Yeshua to be saved, you can be sure that everyone else on earth does too. Does that make sense? Each one of us must be actively involved in evangelism because there is only one way of salvation, having faith, becoming loyal to Yeshua the Messiah. Each one of us must be actively involved in evangelism because we know the Lord and we know the only way of salvation. So we alone have been entrusted with the responsibility to bring the message that reconciles people to God. Rabbi Paul included this in his second letter to the Corinthians, we are Messiah's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. That's powerful. We implore you, we beg you, on Messiah's behalf, be reconciled to God. Humanity is not reconciled to God. They must be reconciled to God. We must not fail the one who made us Messiah's ambassadors by not imploring people, begging people to be reconciled to God. Each one of us must be actively involved in evangelism, because if we don't bring people the message of salvation, no one else will. Messiah will not come down from heaven to bring that message. He won't. Messiah will not send angels to bring that message. The unsaved people of the world certainly will not proclaim that message. That leaves us. Paul wrote to Messiah's community in Rome, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You have to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? We, you, me, Christians, Messianic Jews, are the ones the Lord has sent to preach the message of salvation. We alone, no one else. We must not fail the one who sent us to preach that message. Each one of us must be actively involved in evangelism, because Messiah did not suggest we be involved in evangelism. He didn't recommend that we be involved in evangelism. He commanded us to continue his mission of world evangelism. And we must not violate his command. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Messiah commanded us to continue his mission of world evangelism. We dare not disobey his command. Each one of us must be actively involved in evangelism, because the Lord will not return until the good news is preached to the ends of the earth. Yeshua said, this gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The good news about salvation through the Jewish Messiah will be preached to the whole world. And it is our responsibility to do that preaching. Each one of us, I hope I have convinced you, must be actively involved in evangelism. I'm talking to you, everyone who is here. Don't think for some reason it doesn't apply to you. It does. So are you actively involved in evangelism? If not, why not? If not, won't you make that commitment now? How are we actively involved in evangelism? How do we get actively involved? It's really very simple. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that. When we are full of the Spirit of God, we are close to God. We understand that salvation from Satan and the demons, Sin and the sin nature, death and hell, is people's greatest need. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are full of the love of God, and we want to meet that greatest need. When we are full of the Spirit, we understand that it is our responsibility to bring that message of salvation to the world. When we are full of the Holy Spirit, we will not give in to the fear of man. When we are full of the Holy Spirit, we will have the wisdom and the power to proclaim the good news to those around us. When we are filled with the Spirit of Yeshua, we will testify about Yeshua. We will want to testify about Yeshua. We will feel compelled to testify. We will not be able to prevent ourselves from testifying about Yeshua. We will be empowered to testify about Yeshua. It is so important to receive the Holy Spirit and then walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. How do we do that? We make absolutely sure that we are true followers of Yeshua. We end our part in the great rebellion against God. We humble ourselves. We allow God to be God. We turn to God and to God's ways and away from our own ways. We make a serious commitment to follow Yeshua, the risen Messiah, as our Lord. If we do this, we will be given a new nature, a godly nature, and the Spirit of the Father and the Son will be given to us. He will live in us now and forever. Then, after we receive our new nature and the Spirit of God is living in us, we live by the Spirit on a moment-by-moment basis. If we sin, or if we slowly drift away from God, when we realize it, we confess our sin, we confess our drifting away, and we pray to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. And we will be. And we will be re-energized to tell the world the good news about salvation through Yeshua. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we are, we will testify about Yeshua. Some people are not actively involved in evangelism because they think that they don't know enough. Someone might ask them a question that they are unable to answer. You do not need to be a theologian to tell others the gospel. Rabbi Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, who loved eloquent speakers and speakers who knew a lot. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Messiah Yeshua and Him crucified. Paul's telling us that evangelism is simple. It's simply telling others about Messiah Yeshua and Him crucified. Telling others that they need to follow Yeshua who died, Yeshua who overcame death, Yeshua who was resurrected, Yeshua who is alive now, Yeshua who is the living Lord and Savior. Any follower of Messiah can tell others that information. It's as simple as that. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Messiah Yeshua and Him crucified. Do you think you can tell another human being that Yeshua came into this world, Yeshua died, Yeshua was crucified, Yeshua rose from the dead, Yeshua is alive now, and they need to become loyal to Yeshua? That's the gospel. Do you think you can do that? Then you don't have to worry about any objections or answering difficult questions. Just tell people the simple truth about Yeshua. The tools of those who are actively involved in evangelism. Many professionals need tools for their profession. Farmers need a tractor. Carpenters need a hammer. Plumbers need a wrench. Musicians need an instrument. Those who are actively bringing the good news need tools. Our tools are the Bible. The Word of God is alive, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. When a person begins to interact with the Bible, reading it with an open mind, God starts to reveal himself to that person. God starts to reveal truth at a very deep level to that person. If you can just challenge someone to read the Bible, get them reading the Bible, you have done a large part of your job as an evangelist with that person. Encourage people to read the Bible. I usually encourage people to read the Gospel of John or Matthew. Encourage them to read a modern version of the Bible, like the one we use, the New International Version, the NIV, or maybe the ESV, a new very good translation. And challenge them to read it and then pray. Just talk to God and ask God to show them the truth, and that God would give them the courage to follow the truth that he reveals. The tool of the Bible. Get a Bible into the hands of someone who doesn't know the Lord. Just challenge them to read it for themselves. The tool of the messianic prophecies. Part of the Bible, but something very specific within the Bible that's powerful. The messianic prophecies, the prophecies about the Messiah, demonstrate that the Bible is a supernatural book inspired by God. Only God, who created time but is beyond time, can give accurate, detailed predictions describing events that take place centuries in advance, like these messianic prophecies. It's powerful when we inform others about the prophecies about the Messiah. None of the other world religions have prophecies about their leaders like we have about our leader, Yeshua. Here are the prophecies I commonly use. Messiah would arrive before 70 AD, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Messiah would be a Jewish child who will rule over David's kingdom, but at the same time, he would also be God, Emmanuel, God with us. Well, no, that's a different one. He'd be El Gibor, the mighty God, Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. Messiah would be born in Bethlehem and yet originate from the days of eternity, Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. He had to be born in Bethlehem. Messiah would enter Jerusalem triumphantly as a king, yet humbly on a donkey, Zechariah 9, 9. And my favorite messianic prophecy, my go-to prophecy, take a guess, Isaiah 53. If you only can remember one prophecy, it's Isaiah 53. Get people to read Isaiah 53 with you and just explain it to them as best you can. Messiah would be despised and rejected by the majority of Israel. He would be tried and condemned even though he was innocent. He would be silent before his accusers. He would die as a sacrifice to atone for our sins. He would be raised from the dead, and he would be greatly rewarded. The entire gospel is found in Isaiah 53, which was written about 700 B.C. The tool of the messianic prophecies. The tool of the Bible, the tool of the messianic prophecies, the tool of the evidences for Yeshua's resurrection. Yeshua's resurrection is very powerful. Since God would not resurrect a liar, a deceiver, a false Messiah, Yeshua's resurrection lets us know that he is not a liar, he's not a deceiver, he's not a false Messiah, he's the true Messiah. He has God's seal of approval. Yeshua's resurrection validates him and his teachings. Yeshua's resurrection makes him absolutely unique and puts him on a far higher level than any of the prophets of Israel, even great Moses, or any of the other religious leaders of the world. Is there evidence for Yeshua's resurrection? Yes, there is. There are many ancient and reliable manuscripts that mention his resurrection. There is written evidence in the New Testament from eyewitnesses who saw him resurrected, like Matthew, Peter, and John. There is written evidence in the New Testament that more than 500 reliable eyewitnesses saw him at one time after he died. There is the evidence of Yeshua's impact on history. This one Jewish man has affected the course of history more than any other human being. There is the evidence of millions of transformed lives, people who have claimed they have encountered the resurrected Messiah. That's true in my life, and I'm sure it's true in most of your lives, transformed lives. The evidences for Yeshua's resurrection are powerful and persuasive. We need to look for ways to point people to Yeshua. Use things that people are interested in to point them to Messiah. That's what Yeshua himself did. To a woman drawing water at Jacob's well, he claimed he could give her living water that produces eternal life. On Sukkot, at the great water pouring ceremony, when the nation was praying for water, Yeshua said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Making that connection between the water and himself. At Sukkot, when huge menorahs illuminated Jerusalem, Yeshua said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." To a crowd that wanted bread, Yeshua declared he was the living bread that came from heaven that gives eternal life. Look for ways to point people to Yeshua, things that they are interested in. Martha remembers going to a mall with her grandfather, Fred Kendall, when she was a child, and when she bought some jewelry that had some gold in it, Grandpa Fred asked the vendor if the vendor would like to live in a place where the streets were paved with gold. And a conversation about God ensued. Use things that people are interested in to point them to Yeshua. See your place of work as your mission field. God has given you a job not only to provide for your needs and the needs of your family, but to be salt and to be light. Try to initiate conversations about spiritual things with your coworkers. If it's hard to do at work, invite them to breakfast or lunch, or go out with them after work, and then try to get into a conversation about God, spiritual things, the gospel. See your neighborhood not just as a place to live, but as your mission field. Many people hardly know their neighbors today. Get to know some of your neighbors. Invite a neighbor to lunch or dinner and try to share the good news with your neighbor. Engage in evangelism on the way. As you're out and about, be aware of the people around you and that the Lord may want you to interact with them. Yeshua was traveling to Galilee, and while he was passing through a town in Samaria and sitting by a well, a Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. And Yeshua initiated a marvelous spiritual conversation with her. That's evangelism on the way. Christians, Messianic Jews, can isolate themselves so that we're only relating to other believers. And that's a danger. Get involved in some sort of activity or group where you have contact with non-Christians. A great way to have contact with non-Christians today is on the internet. Posting your thoughts on social media, responding to articles and videos, and there's very often ways to do that, you know, on the internet. Use holiday and life cycle events. Send holiday cards, birthday cards, graduation cards, condolence cards, and add a personal note or a prayer that God would bless that person, help them, comfort them, enable them to live forever because of Messiah. When appropriate, include a prayer or blessing or a Bible verse with your letters, with your emails. Use greetings. If someone greets you with, "How are you?" Don't say, "I'm good, I'm fine." Try saying, "I'm blessed because of Jesus Christ, my risen Lord and Savior. How are you?" I do this all the time now. Instead of telling someone, "Have a good day," you can say, "May God, who sent Jesus the Messiah to enable us to live forever, may he enable you to have a good day today." Mary Ann, who's with us this morning, let me know that she's working on a humorous pitch with Jewish people, which so far has rendered chuckles, smiles, and curiosity. Mary Ann lets me know that after polite and warm introductions, the pitch goes like this. "You know, sometimes I feel bad, like I stole your Messiah. Not that I really stole him per se, but I would like to give him back to you." Then she smiles warmly and adds that she attends a Messianic congregation and how she loves how Jewish the Messiah is. Good job, Mary Ann. May this new pitch result in some home runs. Instead of considering sales calls an annoyance, consider sales calls to be an evangelistic opportunity. God is having some human being call you to talk to you. So instead of getting angry and just hanging up the phone, you say something like, "Thank you so much for calling and telling me about your product or service. I want to tell you about the most important thing in my life, and that is my relationship with Jesus Christ. He's alive. He really loves you. He wants you to live forever with him, and I want you to know that today." Doesn't have to be very long, right? You could slip it in there before the poor, shocked person, you know, wants to hang up the phone. If you're dealing with someone in customer service, at the end of the interaction, they are trained to ask you, "Is there anything else I can do for you today?" And I told you my response, which I am doing all the time. "Yes, there is something additional that you can do for me today. I want you to know that the purpose of life is not working for making a lot of money, working for, and you name, you know, the organization they work for. But the purpose of life is to be reconciled to God before you leave this world, and that happens when you know that Jesus Christ is alive and real and loves us and wants us to live forever with him. I want you to know that. That's what you can do for me today." I do this all the time. Planting seeds. Add a pamphlet, a gospel pamphlet. If you don't have any, we have some on the table in back. When add it to the envelope when paying your bills or paying your taxes. If you ever go to a restaurant, leave a pamphlet along with a generous tip. It's got to be at least 15%, better 20% when eating at a restaurant. If you like bumper stickers, use ones like, "If you only follow Jesus this closely." Or, "Read the Bible. It will scare the hell out of you." Or, "My boss is a Jewish carpenter." Or, "Honk if you love Jesus, text if you want to see him soon." Or, "People use duct tape to fix everything. God used nails." Consider wearing a Jewish star or a star with a cross or that new star menorah fish symbol, because people will ask you about it, and then you can say something like, "I'm wearing this because my Messiah and Savior is Jewish," or, "I'm a kosher-hearted Christian with a Jewish Savior, and I love the Jewish people." When out doing errands or walking or jogging or at the gym, consider wearing one of our Jesus Made Me Kosher t-shirts, virtually guaranteed to start a conversation. With humor. When you get into a conversation, ask the person one question. "Who do you think Jesus is?" Where they are right, you agree with them. Where they are wrong, you correct them. Where they lack information, you teach them. One last thing. People who are actively involved in evangelism need to be patient. Do not expect immediate results. Think of yourself as a person who is planting seeds. You're a seed planter. Little gospel seeds, little seeds of truth. It may take time for that seed to sprout. You might need to plant other seeds in that person's life for the seed to sprout. It might take many seeds. God might use other people to plant seeds of truth in that person's life. You may only be one of a number of people that God is using to plant seeds of gospel truth in that person's life. One sows, another waters, and then another gathers the harvest. Each one of us must be actively involved in evangelism, or we are falling short. Let's pray. Father, your Son came into this world on a great rescue mission to save human beings, and he still wants to save people. But now that he died, was raised from the dead, and has ascended to your right hand, he saves people using us. Father, help us to be faithful to carry on his mission of world evangelism. Father, you've made it clear that it is the duty of each one of us to be actively involved in evangelism. Help us fulfill that duty. Enable us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that when we are, we won't wait for evangelistic opportunities to occur. We will take the initiative and make those evangelistic opportunities occur. Father, help us look for ways to point people to Yeshua. Help us learn the tools of our trade so that we can be the most effective evangelists we can be. Lord, you have told us that each of us as individuals must be actively involved in evangelism. And as a community, we must be actively involved in evangelism. Make Shema an active, evangelistic, witnessing community that pleases you. In fact, Father, I pray that you would make your entire church an active, witnessing, evangelistic community the way we should be. Father, your Son told us the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Father, we pray that you, the Lord of the harvest, would send those workers into your harvest field, and that we would be some of those workers. Amen.